Chapter 8 Newfound Journey. The sun set as they travelled through the dense forest, casting a warm orange-pink glow across the sky.
The trees towering above them seemed to stretch endlessly in the sky, their leaves rustling in the gentle breeze.
A chorus of chirping crickets and singing birds echoed through the woods. As the horse trod through the forest, Luke couldn't help but notice the occasional rustling in the bushes. Suddenly, a pure white wolf emerged from the thicket, its fur glinting like moonlight, and its ears sharply pointed. The wolf's gaze locked on the stranger. The two remained in a tense standoff for a few moments. Luke uttered a startled cry against his will, drawing the wolf's attention to him. The wolf lowered his ears, licked his lips, and returned the gaze to the stranger, before disappearing back into the brush. Luke's eyes widened in amazement. I've never seen a wolf like that before. The stranger turned to Luke with a small smile. White wolves are rare and beautiful creatures. They are protectors of these forests. Luckily, we did not pose a threat to it and it left us alone. Let's hope it stays that way. The stranger looked back at where the white wolf had emerged from before leading deeper into the forest. They came upon a cliff, towering high above the forest, its rocky face jutted out from the trees. Its edges seemingly endless, creating a natural barrier between the forest and the sky. The stranger guided the horse towards a small clearing at the top of the cliff, where they would rest for the night. Once they reached the top of the cliff, the stranger jumped off the horse, grabbed Luke, and lowered him to the ground. The stranger declared, "We will camp here for the night. I shall gather up the wood so I can make a fire. Can you please stay next to Sage?" Luke scratched his head.
"Sage?" The stranger scoffed.
"Sage is the horse's name." The stranger retrieved an axe from Sage's saddlebag and carefully removed it to lighten the horse's load. The stranger walked towards a nearby tree and grunted as he struck the axe hard against the trunk. The stranger continued to chop away the branches and the trunk until it fell to the ground. After cutting the trunk into pieces, the stranger gathered them and returned to Luke. As the stranger arranged the wood pieces for a fire, he noticed that Luke had fallen asleep on Sage's stomach. The stranger smiled and chuckled softly before retrieving a small blanket from the saddlebag and covering Luke. With his sword at his side, the stranger leaned against a tree and watched over Luke as he slept soundly. The stranger glanced at Luke with a smile before sighing, and gradually his eyes closed. A loud noise jolted the stranger awake. The stranger's hand instinctively reached for his sword as he looked around for Luke, only to find he was missing. Panic set in as the stranger shouted, "Boy, where are you?" Luke's voice responded from a short distance away. "I'm here." Relieved but frustrated, the stranger stormed towards Luke and raised his voice as he glared at Luke. "You can't be wandering off by yourself. Do you have any idea how dangerous it is here? You need to stay close to me, listen to whatever I say, and obey. Otherwise, you could get hurt or killed. Do you understand?" Luke's voice trembled as he replied, "Sorry, sir. Sage looked hungry and thirsty. I just wanted to find him some berries. That is all. I didn't venture too far." The stranger rolled his eyes and grunted, "Come, boy, we must be moving." After gathering their belongings, they extinguished the fire with water before leaving the camp. The stranger helped Luke onto the horse and mounted behind him as they continued their journey towards Ferriton. After a few minutes of uncomfortable silence, Luke's curiosity got the better of him. He broke the silence. "What is your name, sir?" The stranger replied, "Slaint." "I never heard that name before. My name is Luke. Where are you from?" Luke asked. Slain softly replied in a deep voice, "I come from the kingdom called Exvanet." Luke started speaking, his voice choked with emotion. "I heard of that place. My father always promised he'd take me there one day. He told tales of a vibrant, beautiful kingdom that people came from all over the world to visit that kingdom." A soft laugh escaped Slain's lips as he spoke. "Yes. That kingdom is beautiful and sprawling. The townhouses reach as high as the tallest trees. while swarms of people always walked through the streets. Every Sunday, performers would put on a grand show. I remember watching those shows with my parents as a child. I always loved them and got excited to see the performers put on a show where the king's knights would win back the kingdom against a massive army from the south. Slane's REM scene faded into a sigh. His tone grew somber. As I got older, I realised the true cost behind the kingdom's wealth. Intrigued, Loke inquired. What do you mean? Slane explained. A few days before I found you, Loke, I visited Vinerys, your neighbouring village, where I saved a young girl. Loke interjected excitedly. I heard about that, and I thought that was you. Nodding, Slane continued. Yes, it was me. When I returned the girl to her mother, she pleaded me to warn off or slay any beast that lurked nearby. You see, they used to have guards from Exvanet, but the king was consumed by greed and refused to dispatch his men without full payment. He showed little regard for the village's potential destruction and the villagers' safety. Loke exhaled softly, digesting Slate's words. A respectful silence filled the air as they continued their journey. Sunlight pierced through the covering of leaves above, casting a spotted pattern on the path ahead. The rustle of the underbrush, the chopping of boards, and the clopping of the horse's hooves filled the air. Loke spoke. Why did you call your horse Sage? Loke continued. Is it because he's a wise horse? Slane remained silent, but Loke asked again. Why did you name your horse Sage? Slane grunted, lowering his head. The name Sage reminds me of my wife, who I cared for but who's no more. She loved the flower of sage because the smell, and green was her favourite colour. Slate lifted his head and chuckled as he remembered her, and he continued. She loved them so much that she had covered our house with sage flowers, making the house smell like flowers. It infuriated me. All I wanted to do was destroy the flowers. But I couldn't bring myself to destroy them, as I knew she loved them so much. And I didn't want to upset her. So I named the horse Sage, which reminds me of her. Loke said, Sally, you must have cared for her because that's the first time I saw you laugh. She must have been a lovely lady. Yes, she was, Slate replied softly. Loke asked, can you tell me more about her? Slate shook his head. This is a tale for another day. Okay, sir, Loke said, respecting his privacy wishes. Slate said, we must find a safe place to rest and get food. Loke, can you look around and see if any hills are high? Loke nodded. Loke scanned the area, his vision obscured by the dense fog. Loke pointed to a high hill on the left. I see a hill over there, he said with certainty. Slate followed Loke's direction and saw the mountain in the distance. Slate urged Sage towards it, confident it would provide a safe resting place. As they reached the top of the hill, Slate dismounted Sage, ready to help Loke down, but Loke insisted and dismounted himself. Slate stepped back, but not too far to catch Loke if he fell. Once Loke dismounted the horse, Slate spoke, we need to gather firewood. Loke questioned, fine, which trees are the best for firewood? Slate responded, any wood, as long as it's safe to cut from a tree. They do the same team. You need to stay near Sage because I don't want to worry about you getting hit by the tree when I cut it down. As Loke moved towards Sage, the horse became agitated. Its neighing sliced through the quiet air. Slate immediately unsheathed his sword. With his free hand, Slate shielded Loke, pushing Loke behind him as he cautiously retreated towards a nearby tree, ears strained to any hint of danger amidst the rustling leaves. Through the wind, Slate could hear a strange noise, as if someone or something was suckling them. Suddenly, a blood-curdling screech pierced through the air, its discordant notes causing Loke to tremble. Never losing his grip on Loke, Slate led him into a controlled backwards march until Loke's back was against a tree. Swiftly, Slate set his sword on the mossy ground, hoisting Loke onto a low-hanging branch. Reclaiming his sword, Slate looked around. Slate glanced at Loke momentarily and shouted, "Climb, boy!" Slate stared back into the forest, listening to the noise, hoping to find the creature's location. Another screech tore through the air. and Slade's grip of his sword tightened. In a fury of a moment, a Wullagus emerged from the trees and lunged at Slade, who braced himself and nimbly sidestepped the assault. Slade retaliated with a fierce slice, the blade slicing his skin and drawing an enraged roar from the beast. Yet the Wullagus retaliated with a vicious swipe of his paw, sending Slade sprawling backwards. Slade's back slammed against a tree, impact rattling his bones, just as the Wullagus prepared for another assault. Suddenly, Slade plucked out a potion from his pocket, hurtling at the beast's face. The Wullagus held in anguish as the harsh liquid stinged his eyes, creating an opportunity for Slade. Slade plunged his sword into Wullagus' chest, silencing it once and for all. Loke's gaze fell upon Slade as Loke carefully descended from the tree, concern on his face. Loke's voice trembled as he asked, "Are you okay?" True grinted teeth, Slade groaned in agony. "I'll survive." They trudged back to the camp together, where Slade summoned enough strength to ignite a fire before storming towards Sage's saddlebag. Slade retrieved a selection of herbs and a bowl, lowering himself beside Sage to begin crushing the medicine. In trance, Loke pushed beside Slade, mesmerized by his skilled hands. Once the herbal concoction was complete, Slade rose with painstaking effort, limping towards the fire with his sword loosely held in his grasp. With a grunt, he placed the sword atop the fire, leaving it to heat amidst the nickering flames. Upon returning to Loke, Slade collapsed. With a laboured breath, Slade turned his gaze to Loke. "Can you please press the heated blade on my wounds? Afterwards, apply the mixture I made to prevent infection," Slade instructed. Loke nodded solemnly, his tiny hands trembling as he applied the searing blade to Slade's injuries. Slade tossed the screen toward the air before he fell unconscious. Fear overtook Loke as he called Slade's name, his voice shaking. Tears welled in his eyes. Discarding the sword, Loke scrambled towards Slade, shaking him gently in desperate bid for response. Loke bent down, placing his ears against Slade's chest, hearing the reassuring thump of a heartbeat. The cessation of a steady pulse flooded Loke with relief. Loke stood, rushing to retrieve the blanket from Sage's saddlebag. Once Loke found it, he dreamt it tenderly over Slade. Armed with Slade's sword, a weighty burden in his tiny hands, Loke took a vigilant position with his back against the tree, unaware that he was replicating what Slade had done the previous night. Loke faced Slade, but also maintained a clear view of the forest. Loke inspected the handle of the sword again, looking at the detail of every different type of objects carved in the hold. Smiling slightly when he saw the gnomon, Loke had memories of his father waking him up early. One day, Loke got so annoyed by waking up so early that he grabbed the sundial and hid it in his room to get a few more hours sleep. He forgot to put it back. When his father discovered what Loke had done, he woke him up earlier as punishment. Loke never hid his father's sundial again. Loke's eyes mirrored Slade's steely gaze from the previous night as he stared into the enigmatic depths of the forest. The sun came up and Slade suddenly woke up. Slade panicked, put his hand to his side, hoping to find the sword. Slade then looked down and saw the blanket. Peeling it off him, Slade started to look around. "You're finally awake. I was beginning to think you'd never wake up," Loke remarked, his tone shifting to one of concern as his gaze landed on Slade's wounds. "How are you feeling?" Slade looked at the wounds. Slade noticed they had stopped bleeding and looked like they had been cleaned. Slade didn't touch them but said, "It's a lot better, thank you. I am sorry I passed out. You weren't safe. Anything could have..." "There's no need for thanks. You needed the rest and besides, everything was fine. I should get used to being on my own if I travel with you," Loke said with a smile. Slade let out a lengthy sigh. "Sorry, boy, you won't be traveling with me after we get to Veriton. It's unsafe here and you will be cared for there." Loke looked at the ground while trying stones aimlessly. "I know, but will you still visit me, won't you, Slade?" Slade sighed. "I will visit if I'm passing by."